have to be adjusted and it, to new conditions, and it's not. But yes, this is, I agree, this is an area where you do want regulation to limit media concentration, definitely.
Sure. I think the real thing you have to address is the power that these people have is the power to write hatchet job stories about people which are not true. And that's what you've got to address, and that's why I do think we have to tackle this point. And that's why I do
think power of politicians to correct.
No, not at all. You just need. Actually, let's come back to this point. I used to get journalists phoning me with a story that they'd been ordered to write by their newsdesk or ordered to write by the editor. And they used to apologise to me for the fact that.
Yeah, have you ever ordered journalists to write?
The Guardian won't have done that, but there were papers that were. this does happen. It really does. And they used to apologise this had to happen. And journalists, if people who are serious about raising the standards of professional journalism, should not fear something that just tightens up the cage and that you don't get swaggering newspaper varieties who go around telling you what to write. And then politicians won't have to feel the light.
Let me just bring in a question from Twitter. Jacqueline, probably aimed at you. Is it ever legitimate to break the law as part of an investigation?
I've always believed no. And I don't think I've knowingly broken the law. And at the same time, I've spent a lot of time contemplating where it might be justified. I'll tell you what we did do in Watergate that gave me pause. It was not illegal. I obtained some telephone records from somebody who worked at the telephone company of one of the Watergate organizers of political sabotage, and some of his credit card records. I thought it was justified at the time, still do, by the fact that the investigation of Watergate by the government had itself become part of a criminal conspiracy. But would I, for instance, have thought it justifiable for me to use wiretapping, which is against the law, to get that information? Absolutely not. I really find it very difficult to imagine. We oughtn't to be claiming that we're above the law, the press. And also, this idea, though, back to what George was saying about truth, it's not illegal to lie. It oughtn't to be illegal to lie, I hate to say. We got an awful lot of people in jail every day to lie. And we're talking about judging what's truthful, what's not truthful. I'm scared of it.
Okay. Lots of people want to hear this. I'm going to take a couple of points at a time. Here and here. So here.
Okay, my name is Teresa Guerrero. I've been a journalist all my life, and now I teach. And this question is, I think, not Carl Bernstein. And I'd like your comments on two points. One of them that clearly there's a corruptor, there's always people who are happy to be corrupted. And I think one of the most shocking aspects of this whole saga was the willingness of institutions of state, such as politicians and the police, to be corrupted by a press baron in the arms of his empire. And the second question is this. You did say that the public actually kindled this lowering, this constant lowering of public discourse. And so you now have a closed circle. How do you move out of that one?
I'm not a sociologist. I don't know the answer to the larger question, cultural questions. And in terms of, I think your first was really a statement, not a question.
Okay. Yes, hello. Roger Goff. I'm a Trukin pensioner, and I can't believe I'm about to take issue with Mr. Bernstein in a very gentle way. In respect of the Watergate investigation, it uncovered huge parliamentary, governmental impropriety. In the hacking, with possible exception of the hiring of Mr. Coulson, I'm not sure that any has been discovered. And as it hasn't, I smell a rat. Perhaps Mr. Lusbridge will be able to tell me if there is any public immunity orders in place in this investigation. Secondly, how can an ordinary member of the public discover where they're kept? Is there an index of them? How do you know about them? Public immunity information orders.
I'm not aware of
it. But sure, you must be. There was a murder of a. And in fact, you're breaking the law by doing this. there's an elderly man.
Well, whatever it is you're about to do, don't.
I illustrate the point that there are orders in this country which bar you from even commenting on time.
Hi. I was wondering, I came in late, I apologize if you touched on this earlier, but I was wondering if the panel believes that it's sort of culturally possible for the tabloid and the broadsheet culture to separate from each other in this country for the purposes of better self-regulation. I've been on the fence about regulation.
What do you mean separate?
In terms of defining, having a clearer idea of what's in the public interest, you know, the difference between the public interest and what the public might be interested in, i.e. Basically separating actual good responsible journalism that can be self-regulated responsibly from chasing people down the street with flashbulbs because they've been on a
TV
show.
Two tiers of regulation.
Well, yes, or maybe, you know, lesser regulation for a more responsible press. Is it possible?
George Eustace?
I don't really attract the idea of twos. I don't think it's necessary. I think the reality is that if you've got a code that's enforced properly, those that are sailing closest to the wind are the ones that will be caught by it, and the responsible ones have far less to fear.
Yes?
I'm a journalist, and our question is pretty close to the question mentioned. However, what I wanted to talk about is a sense of morality. I think what we're talking about here is regulating because you want to change the moral fabric of society. And regulation exists in every industry, whether it's a lawyer or a doctor. Do you think regulation, if you imposed it on the media, would be instrumental in changing the moral fabric of the country?
George,
Well, yeah, I think with regulation we've got to be careful. What I've described is something that's far weaker cases than the broadcasting network. It wouldn't be partiality, it wouldn't be complex, it would actually probably still be somewhere close to self-regulation, but would be independently regulated. And I think those who say, you have to ask yourself the question, do we have a muffled broadcast media that don't exercise free speech? If you look at programs like Panorama or Dispatches, some of the best investigative journalism in this country is in broadcasting. And yes, they can go and secretly film people who are up to no good and financial wrongdoing, because even their code allows them to do that. So you shouldn't get carried away with the idea that it's snuffing out free speech. And you can still have correspondents who can come on, and Christian's done it, and absolutely hammer a politician into the ground into the toughest interview they'll ever have. You know, this idea that they're trying to improve the regulation, which will actually enhance the profession of journalism, means the end of free speech, is frankly ludicrous.
But you're arguing that the system of regulation would improve behavior. So why would your regulatory regime stop any of this happening?
Well, because you have proper sanctions for breaches of the code that's there now.
What's more
code
proper than going to jail?
Well, no, but if you... Of course, but the code at the moment, the reason that it came out to why didn't the police investigate, the reason is that the PCC code lists all of these things and says you shouldn't use subterfuge, you shouldn't commit crimes to do this, and there's a little asterisk by all these things, and then it says, unless it's in the public interest. And then when you look at what they define as the public interest, they say, among other things, well, if it's probably going to come out anyway, well, then that's a factor to take into account. And freedom of speech itself is a public interest, so they actually defeat the very public interest test on which the whole thing is built. So I do think you need some kind of independent group that arbitrates. You can't just have newspapers defending whether what they've done last week is in the public interest. Something's harder.
I think the PCC code is actually quite a good code. I think it's an interesting I don't want a two-tier regulation system. But I think if we're going to have a code, then we have to be real about it. I think there was a period in the spring when all this stuff about privacy injunctions which were appearing before the court, and people were writing blood-curdling articles about how we were on the verge of a police state. And yet, if you actually read those judgments and see the judges in all those cases asked the newspapers, are you pleading the public interest as defined by the PCC code? And they weren't. So I think, hopefully we can reach a kind of a call where we can, as an industry, agree on a public interest code that we'll be bound by, but then be bound by it.
Can I interject one thought here? I think you're listening.